We turn again this morning to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we'll read verse 17. However, we will note the previous verses as well, but we'll read verse 17 by way of text, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ, just before he went to the cross, faced a number of questions from Pilate. One of them, recorded for us in John 18, verse 37, was this: "Art thou a king then?" Well, our Lord answers, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." And he made plain there before Pilate that one of the great reasons why he came was to bear witness to the truth. He knew the truth, and so he bore witness to it. He preached the gospel here upon earth. The greatest preacher was found preaching the gospel. And that's what we see here this morning. Well, from verse 12, we consider the Lord Jesus engaged in his public ministry, which had already commenced, if you just note how the Gospels fit together. Now, back in the third chapter, we are presented with the baptism and inauguration of Christ into his public ministry. Then, coming into the fourth chapter, as we saw last time, we are presented with days of preparation for that ministry, but also days in which he would face a fierce battle with Satan. And it reminds us that where a good work is about to be done, there will be fierce opposition from the evil one. And where that good work continues, we must not be surprised that there will be such fierce opposition. Now, after that time of temptation, and before this particular season of our Lord's ministry in Galilee, before us here in verses 12 and verse 13, there were other things that happened and which he did, recorded for us, particularly in John. However, here Matthew comes directly to consider this particular time wherein he was engaged in his public ministry in Galilee. Well, without any further introduction, I'd like us to think of Christ engaged in his public ministry and the message which he preached. And as we turn to these verses this morning, from verse 12 down to verse 17, I'd like us to consider two things. First of all, Christ shining in the darkness. And then secondly, Christ and his message. Firstly, Christ shining in the darkness. And then secondly, Christ and his message. Well, let's consider then, first of all, particularly from verse 13 down to verse 16, Christ shining in the darkness. Our Lord was found in Galilee. Now, we note in verse 13, he was there in Nazareth. And leaving Nazareth, it was a city in Galilee, Luke 1, verse 26. Well, leaving that place, he then is found in Capernaum, another city in Galilee. Luke 4, verse 31. And he dwelt there. Now, Capernaum lay on the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, as we note in verse 15. John Gill wrote, "Christ now came and dwelt in Capernaum, which lay between the lands upon the borders both of Zebulun and Naphtali, which was situated by the Sea of Tiberias, or Galilee, beyond Jordan." Well, we read in verse 14 these words, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung." Now, we note that our Lord came to Capernaum, and it was a fulfillment of Scripture. Matthew here is citing from Isaiah 9, verse 1 and verse 2. And there we read, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have light shined. It was a direct fulfillment of Scripture. And it reminds us that God's word is fulfilled. A number of prophecies have been fulfilled already, but there are still a number to be fulfilled in the future, including the coming of our Lord, as we note in Matthew 24. Where in view of that prophecy, which is yet to be fulfilled, we're to mark it and live in the light of it. Jesus said in the light of his return, Matthew 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." We're to be watching. Well, returning to these words here, we see the fulfillment of Scripture. Our Lord was found in that place. Our Lord made known the gospel. He was the light shining in the darkness. Now we read in verse 16 these words, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Now back in Isaiah 9 and verse 2 we read, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." Here we read, "They that sat in darkness." The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. There in Isaiah, the people walking in darkness. Really what we're seeing here is they lived in darkness, whether they were found in their homes or walking down the street. They were living in darkness. Darkness. There was that walk before them, that course before them, and they walked in darkness. The Lord shined in the darkness. Let's think firstly of the darkness here. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. Plainly it refers to a spiritual darkness. Note also those words at the end of verse 16. "And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." There, it's a plain reference to those who are spiritually dead. They're spiritually dead and they are in spiritual darkness. Spiritually dead and in spiritual darkness. And as we consider this morning, consider how many thousands of people today are walking in darkness. They're spiritually dead and they're in spiritual darkness. What darkness it is. The people which sat in darkness. It speaks of a life, does it not, where one is in the dark. Think of the state of sin. It's darkness. One without Christ is in bondage. They're in a state of darkness. That's made plain in Isaiah 42 verse 7. You recall there our Lord was called to go forth with a great work. And we read there in verse 7, "To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." See there the bondage. See the state of sin and the darkness of that state. Dear brethren, how thankful we are that Christ came. And he came to us in the time of love, and he delivered us from the prison house of darkness. He delivered us from that state of sin, that bondage, that darkness we were in. But all consider today, the thousands, the millions that are in the dark. They're in bondage. They're in darkness. We once were in that state, dear brethren. Therefore, we ought to pity them. Remember those words in 1 Peter 2, verse 9? "But ye are a chosen generation, and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." We've been called out. We knew what it was once was to be in. Have pity on those who are in the dark. Think of the state of sin then. So many are living in sin, in that miserable state. But as we think of the darkness, consider further the unbelief that leads on as we think of the sin of unbelief. The unbelief and ignorance. What unbelief there was in Galilee. Now in John 3 verse 19, our Lord said these words, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They rejected the gospel. They rejected Christ, the light. Light has come, but men love darkness. Oh, what darkness, what unbelief there was here in Galilee. They rejected the gospel, so many of them. They rejected Christ. They would not accept the prophecies concerning the Lord and that here was the Messiah. They would not believe. They would not look to him. They did not know him. There was ignorance in their minds. In Ephesians 1 verse 18 we read this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. But there was no enlightening in their minds. There was darkness. There was ignorance. There was no saving knowledge as we see in Ephesians 1 verse 18. One without Christ is spiritually ignorant. They're in the dark. When our Lord came into Galilee, into that place where many were sitting in darkness, many were walking in darkness, they'd rejected him and they were ignorant of him. Well, here in verse 16, we're told the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Back in Isaiah 9 verse 2 we read these words. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have the light shined. They saw the light. And obviously we must understand first of all, it was with the eyes of their flesh. They saw the great light. Now, yes, some came to faith, and so spiritually they saw the Lord. They were so blessed. But we've got to consider particularly here, they just saw him with the eyes of their flesh. They saw a great light. The light sprung up, as we're told here in verse 16. He appeared unto them. You think of the rising of the sun. It's a lovely sight, isn't it? In June, you have to get up very early if you want to see the sun rise and those wonderful days where the sun so rises early in the morning. Yes, some like to get up very early, but you don't have to do it every day. But if you want to see the sun rise in June, you must get up early and you see the springing of the light. You see the sun arising. It's a lovely sight. We're here, Christ, he sprung up. And they saw the great light before them. We're told in verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Jesus is the light. And they saw him. Young people, you remember those words in John 8 verse 12. Jesus said again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's the light, and they saw him. I just think of Christ the light. He is the fountain of light and knowledge. Through him one has life and sees. Light is necessary for living. Without the sun there would be death. Light is necessary for living. Light is necessary for seeing. Through him one has life and one sees. Through Christ one believes. Through Christ one has a saving knowledge. They're saved. One believes in Jesus. They know Jesus. And further, one through him who is the light is directed and guided in the right way. Dear brethren, Jesus is the light. What a blessing to be following him. To have a knowledge of him, to be believing, and to be directed by him, and guided in the right way. But so many here, though they saw him, they were still in the dark. Now he shined in the darkness. There was the darkness. The people that sat in darkness saw great light. He shined in the darkness, but so many of them remained in the dark. He made plain the gospel, and to some it was discovered in their hearts. Yet many rejected him. John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He shone in their midst, but so many rejected him. Remember again those words in John 3 verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The light shined in the darkness, but so many of them loved the darkness, because their deeds were evil. They were favored to have the light, but many rejected. And how sad it is today that many reject Christ. Many reject the gospel. As it were, the light shines forth through the gospel, but many reject. Matthew Henry wrote concerning these words here, their condition is more sad who sit in darkness in the midst of gospel light. Who sit in darkness in the midst of gospel light. Yes, some knew the Lord. They came to faith and there was that discovery of Christ in the soul. But for so many, they were in such a sad and miserable state. Their condition is more sad, wrote Matthew Henry, who sit in darkness in the midst of gospel light. Let me use this simple illustration. Consider this village. As we sung this morning, and as we thought in Hebrews 2, Christ is here in a special way. The light is shining in a spiritual way, and the light shines through the gospel as well. The Lord is known, yet many reject. The light is shining in the darkness, but many reject him in this village. How sad is their state. Consider this village has been favored with a gospel testimony. The light shines. Often we mention about the lights in the evening. They shine out in this village. And many people see the light shining out, but do not come in. But consider further how sad it is. The gospel shines out, but many love darkness. Consider the favour that has been shown to this village and surrounding area for decades upon decades, yet many reject the gospel. Is there anyone here rejecting Christ? Christ is known. The light is shining, as it were, but are you sitting in darkness still? For Christ shined in the dark. However, here before us in Galilee, so many rejected him. Well, as we think of these things this morning, firstly, by way of application, have compassion on those who sit in the darkness. Our Lord had compassion. He came to them. He visited them. How recently we have taken notice of the compassion of Christ on the Lord's Day evenings. He had great compassion towards sinners. He had compassion to these people in Galilee. Dear brethren, let's have compassion to those who sit in darkness. Remembering that once we were in that miserable state, you remember what it was like? We did not know the Lord. We did not have that saving knowledge. We lived for this world. We lived for sin. Have compassion. Have compassion on these villages. Have compassion on your neighbours. Have a great heart for them. They're in the dark. They do not know Christ. They're not looking unto Jesus. They do not know the blessings of the gospel. They do not know those treasures from the Lord. Have compassion upon them. Secondly, pray. Pray for those who are in the dark. Pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light, would shine in many a heart. That many would be found delivered from the darkness and found following Christ. Pray. Have compassion. And is not a heart of compassion an aid to praying for those who sit in the dark? Thirdly, make Christ known. Shine as lights in this dark place. Make Christ known. You remember John, he pointed people to Christ. We read in John 1 verse 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. That all men through him might believe. He came, he went before our Lord. He entered the public ministry some 6 months before our Lord. He came and he pointed people to Christ. He bore witness, dear brethren. Let's keep pointing people to Christ, the light of the world. Make Christ known. They're in the dark. Make Christ known to them. Speak to them if you can. Pass them a tract. Invite them along to hear the gospel. Make Christ known. Remember those words in Song of Solomon 5 verse 16. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my friend. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. They're the people of God. They're admiring Christ. They're taken up with Christ. And they go forth and make him known. Having a heart touched. Having considered the excellencies of Christ, the loveliness of Christ, let's go forth and say to people, this is my beloved friend, this is my precious friend. Make him known. Dear brethren, are we not thankful for those who made Christ known to us? Let's make Christ known. There was a day in my life when suddenly Christ came to my soul. My parents had told me the gospel. And Christ came to my soul on that day. Take encouragement. The next time you speak to someone, it may be the day that Christ comes to their soul. Make Christ known, as John did. Make the glorious light known. Fourthly, be thankful. Have compassion. Pray. Make Christ known. But then fourthly, be thankful. What do we read again in 1 Peter 2 verse 9? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. We've been called out of darkness into his marvellous light. Now we see, dear brethren, we're blessed by looking unto Jesus. And we know one day we will see him in glory. We're in the light. Praise him. Note those words, that ye should show forth the praises of him. We should show it forth. We should bring our thanksgivings to the Lord. Say to the Lord, Lord, I thank thee for delivering me from the dark. Think of the darkness. Think of the millions in the dark. Why such love towards us, dear brethren? Thank him today. As we come around the table in a moment, thank him that you've been delivered from darkness. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should. Dear brethren, it's what we should be doing. Have you done it today already? Have you sat down and thanked the Lord that he saved you? Have you sat down and thanked him that he delivered you from the state of misery and sin? As you think of those who are in the dark, remember you were once in the dark. Thank the Lord that he delivered you. Thank him that he shined and shined into your soul. We're here this morning. Firstly, we consider Christ shining in the darkness. Secondly, Christ and his message. Christ and his message. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now in Mark 1 verse 14 and verse 15 we read these words. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And as we saw earlier, he came to make known the truth. He came to preach the gospel. In Psalm 40 verse 9 we read these words, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation, though I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. He did not keep it back. He made it known. And in passing, there's an example for us to follow. Make it known. We're prone at times to keep it back. Oh, to follow Christ more. He made it known, though I have not refrained my lips, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. He came to make known the truth and the whole truth. How important that is in these days, that the whole truth is preached. He came to preach the gospel. And as we see here, he came to call men to repent. Going back to that parallel passage in Mark 1, verse 14, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. He called on men to repent. They were sitting in the darkness. There was the darkness of that state of sin. They were living a life of rebellion. They were not believing in him. He called on them to repent and also to believe the gospel. Well, here was his message. Note again verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he gives a certain reason why they were to repent here. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And simply here, our Lord is thinking of the church under the New Testament dispensation and that it would soon appear. The church under the New Testament dispensation would soon appear. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now note these words here, repent. Sin is a great hindrance. Pride is a great hindrance. Men by nature will not put God first. There needs to be a humbling. There needs to be a repenting. We so often pray, do we not, for the work of the Holy Spirit to convict men of sin. That's so vital, isn't it? As we make known the truth, we pray that the Holy Spirit will convict men of sin because there needs to be a humbling. Because men by nature will not seek God, as we see in Psalm 7 or Psalm 10. They will not seek God. You know what it is to have a stiff neck or maybe stiff knees? Men by nature have a stiff neck. They will not bow their head in prayer. Men by nature have stiff knees. They will not get down on their knees and cry for forgiveness. All what pride has done, there needs to be a humbling. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would do that work of humbling. That men would repent. Now we see in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, the truth of faith and repentance. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now one is saved by faith, and faith alone. Faith is the instrument. Upon the event of faith, one is justified. One is saved. But if one does not repent, it is evident they have not believed. The two go together. One is saved by faith alone, but if there's no repentance, there's been no believing. The two go together. Repent ye and believe the gospel. If one is to be truly found believing in Jesus, they will also know what it is to repent of their sins. Repent ye. This is the message Jesus brought to the people. They were sitting in darkness. He called on them to repent. What is repentance? Well, the Westminster Shorter Catechism is helpful at this point. Repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of an endeavour after new obedience. Repentance unto life, or we can call it gospel repentance. One has a true sense of sin. They feel their sin. They have a true sense of it. They know that sin is offensive to God. They know that sin is the breaking of God's law. They have a true sense of it. There's that work of convicting. They feel their sin. Let me ask you, have you felt your sin? There's a true sense of sin. But it doesn't stop there. One has an understanding of the mercy of God in Christ. Remember the publican in the temple, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He had an understanding of the mercy of God in Christ. You see, an effectual calling. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, but also shows Christ and his suitableness. Some are convicted, but it goes no further. Some feel they have done wrong. There are many sat in prison today who feel they have done wrong, but they are not saved. They've not looked to Jesus. But in gospel repentance, one feels their sin, but also are led to consider Christ, and they look to him. One has a true sense of sin. One has an understanding of the mercy of God in Christ. And having such, they, with a grief and hatred of their sin, turn to God. They grieve over it. You remember the prodigal son? He grieved there in the pig field. Oh, that many today in the filthy place they're in, that place of sin, would grieve over their sin. He grieved there. He had a hatred of his sin. We don't love our sin, do we? Really? Sometimes we may be pulled, but when we really think about sin, we hate it, don't we? As we see in Romans chapter 7. Yes, our hearts may be pulled, there may be an affection, but when we really think about sin, there's a hatred. And when we came to Christ, we hated our sin. There's a grief and hatred of sin. One's turning to God. They have a true sense of sin. They have an understanding of the mercy of God in Christ. They have a grief and hatred of their sin. And they look to God. Repent. Oh, that the Spirit would work in many a heart today. That many would be found mourning over their sin. Now, not always does one cry when they mourn over sin. But all that there would be a mourning over sin, but also there would be many tears in our land and in this community, that many would weep. Remember that lady who came in before our Lord? She was weeping. She wept because she felt her sin, but then she wept out of love to Jesus. Oh, that many would weep, feeling their sin, but then weep out of love to Jesus. That many would repent. That many would believe the gospel. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, said Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Are you all believing here? I know many of us are, but are you all believing? Believing the gospel. It's a wonderful gospel. Just think of it. Through Christ, one is delivered from darkness. How wonderful that is. One is saved. One is blessed. One is justified. One is found adopted into the family. One is found on the way to heaven. How wonderful is the gospel? Fernham Hyam wrote, "Great is the gospel of our glorious Lord." It is great. It is wonderful. Why do I say it is wonderful? Because Christ, who is the chief subject matter of the gospel, is called wonderful. Isaiah 9 verse 6. It's a wonderful gospel. A wonderful gospel to make known. Dear brethren, let's rejoice in it. Blessed are they that know the joyful Son. And we see there in that verse, in Psalm 89, verse 15, they're going on and they're rejoicing. Rejoice in the gospel. Yes, there are many things that bring us down. There are days when the clouds of sorrow are over us. But spend much time in your life just focusing on the gospel. And rejoicing in Christ. That can be a great aid in times of great sorrow. To remember what Christ has done for you. To remember that he accomplished redemption in full. Therefore all will be well. Rejoice in this gospel. Even in times of sorrow. What a gospel Jesus preached. And he preached repentance. Here was his message. And it's the same message today that needs to be preached. Not a message of entertainment, but a message of a glorious gospel and the need to repent. Men need to repent. The villagers out there need to repent. People around us need to repent. How do we know that? Because Jesus told those people who are in darkness to repent. They need to repent. They've offended God. They're sinners. They need to repent. God is angry with sin. He hates sin. And he has and he will punish sin. There is his wrath. And there is his wrath to come. Just think of those words, his wrath to come. I believe it's Thomas Watson was greatly moved in view of those words, or another Puritan, but I believe it was Thomas Watson. As he thought of hell, it is always the wrath to come. It's present, but always to come as well. Men need to repent. Repentance needs to be preached. In Acts 17, verse 30, we read, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. All men. Everyone in this community. Everyone in this area. Everyone in England, in Scotland, in Ireland, Wales, everyone in this world is called on to repent. So it's good at times when we come to pray that we pray for the whole world to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ. What do we read? But now commandeth, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Therefore the message of repentance must be preached. We must, as a church, preach this message of repentance. We must tell people they need to repent. We must tell people they need to believe in Jesus, for he is the only hope. Repentance was preached. Now, dear brethren, we have repented of our sins. We heard this message. We're saved. But we're not perfect, are we? Let's practice repentance. As the old theologians write, and particularly I'm thinking here of James Fisher, it's an abiding principle until God wipes away all tears. Just think of that. When God wipes away all tears, we can think of it at death. We'll say goodbye to our sin. But till then, repentance is an abiding principle. We need to practice repentance. We need to live a humble life. As you make known the need of repentance, show that you're living a humble life and you're practicing repentance. What an example that is. Live a humble life, practice repentance, and make known that message of repentance to others. Oh, that many would repent. Let's pray for it. Let's pray that people would repent. They're commanded to repent. Let's pray. We don't know the names of everyone in this New Forest. We don't know the names of everyone in England. But let's today pray for every soul in this country to repent before the end of this evening. For as we considered last Lord's Day evening, we do not know what a day will bring forth. Have a great prayer from a great heart for all to repent and believe the gospel. Well, Christ came and he shone in the darkness, and in doing so he preached repentance. Oh, that Christ would shine in many a heart today, and that they would be brought to repentance. Let this old gospel be heard more and more in our land. May the Lord hear our prayers and bless his word. Amen. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious God, we have been reminded there of that command, and we know it is thy command that all men would repent. In view of it, we will pray for every soul in this country to repent of their sins, to believe the gospel. We pray that many would be found doing so. We pray that the Holy Spirit would go forth and convict sinners in this village, in the localities we come from the city of Salisbury, from this New Forest and many other places. May there be a work of conviction today before this night is out, for the night is gone. And may many be shown the suitableness of Christ in their hearts. We can make known Christ, but we pray for that work of the Holy Spirit to make known Christ to a wounded soul, this day we pray. We pray for many in this village who sit at this very moment in darkness. The light of the gospel shines in this village through this place and through the witness of thy people. But they sit in darkness. May the Holy Spirit shine the gospel into their souls, and may they be found believing. We with a heart of compassion pray for them. We also give thee thanks that thou hast delivered us from darkness. And may we remember we have been delivered from darkness for a number of reasons, one of them being that we should show forth thy praises. And so, Lord, we thank thee now for saving our souls. We thank thee for delivering us from the dark. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art our light, and that through thee we are directed and guided in our life. Lord, lead us on, show us the way, and make us more thankful. Holy Spirit, do a great work today, we earnestly pray. Hear our prayers, Heavenly Father. Hear our prayers for Christ's sake. Amen. Our final praise is Psalm 130. Psalm 130, the tune is Martyrdom. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried, my voice, Lord, do thou hear, and to my supplications voice give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? But yet with thee forgiveness is, that feared thou mayest be. And what a precious word, the word but, is there in the psalm. A blessed but, as I believe Spurgeon once wrote, but yet with thee forgiveness is, that feared thou mayest be. Psalm 130, the tune is Martyrdom. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried.